wrestling and whatever. I am Jake Lowe, and this is my confidant, Mikey Dangerously. How goes it, pal?
Hello. Everything's going fantastic. In the words of that Simpsons Treehouse of Horror eulogy, feeling fine.
You know what it is, Mikey?
What's up?
So, now I remembered.
Oh, hey, folks, you know, what we like to do sometimes is we like to try to bring everything up for the show.
Peel back it.
And we just have no idea what it was, but I think J-Glo has struck oil with this. What is it? What's the content?
The content is Mr. Wonderful dying.
Paul Orndorff, that's right. Jeez.
You want to forget about it, but it's... Yeah. You can't forget about a guy that was so instrumental in WrestleMania and being a part of that. So, yeah, maybe we'll dedicate our first few moments of the show here to Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, and maybe we could get the bell ringing 10 times.
Oh, yeah, we'll try to shoot that out of the back there. But, I mean, geez, you got to think about that, man. When all these great wrestlers, these great wrestling minds start to pass away, it's like, is there enough of them still around to kind of pass on for the business to, you know, absorb and learn? Exactly. Get the knowledge and stuff like that. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, there's people that just, you know, don't really care that much about, you know, this type of organization with wrestling and stuff like that. Some people just think the wrestlers and, you know, the people that are behind making that content are just thinking, hey, you know, we're just actors. I mean, in a sense you are, but you know, you have to make this shit believable or else it's not even entertaining to watch, you know.
Yeah.
I can't think of them as actors. I can think of them as athletes, and I can think of the there's certain wrestling humor that is like really good, and it has to be organic. You can't be that script writing shit.
Oh, you're talking about Riddle with his scooter, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's organic. I mean, that guy, when he comes out on that fucking scooter, I laugh and I laugh and I laugh.
With your mouth open, with the flies coming out of your mouth and above you, because you're an inbred. You're an inbred dickwad.
Inbred dickwad. Now, there was a pretty good match that illustrated comedic timing, and it was over on, I'm going to say, it wasn't Impact. Ring of Honor, I'm going to say. The Briscoe brothers went against each other in a match. They did like a cinematic type match for Impact. Or I keep saying Impact, but for
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor. And it was pretty good. And in addition to that, there was like humorous moments, but it wasn't like funny. Like not funny like we're going to take you out of it and like, you know, boom, it's fake and shit like that.
Yeah.
It was like organic to both of the characters that participated in that match, which I give, you know, everybody listening to us right now, you know, I don't think we talk at all about Ring of Honor. Give that a look, you know, look up that match. That's the match with the Briscoe brothers going against each other. Really good tag team. Their characters are really well, and it's just them with the volume turned up. It was a cinematic type match that happened in actually their barn. They actually own a barn.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, they own a farm, so they were doing this match on the farm, and it was really cool. You know, there seemed to be no extravagant like camera angles and shit like that. It seemed like it was all like a really good down there. It seemed like a more of an on location type fight than it was a cinematic AJ Styles Undertaker match, or, you know, Bray Wyatt versus John Cena match.
Okay.
It was really good. I think it was done well in the parameters in which they were trying to produce such an act. I think it turned out really well.
I'll have to catch that. I didn't even know that match was advertised.
Yep. And I mean, you know, going back, I feel like we just kind of peeled off from Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. But again, it's a sad day of wrestling when you're not really getting that many people into the business that know enough about the business to kind of teach the younger guys so that, like, hey,
right.
this, you know, this is how we should act. You know?
I just caught a table for three with him, Roddy Piper, me, and Gene Okerlund, and I was like, holy shit, all these guys are the past. It's
that,
sad.
That table of three is deceased.
It really is. I used to love watching those, so I hope maybe in the future they, when people are allowed to get back together and, you know, close proximities, that we could actually watch them again.
Right. Well, speaking of the Peacock Network, I mean, what's up with this recent turn of events that have been happening? There were two released, products that were going to be coming out, and they kind of either got held, pushed back, or canceled. I don't really know exactly. It was the one was the Lex Luger biography that WWE is doing that they're going to put on the Peacock Network. And the other thing was the Stone Cold interview with Kevin Nash, which I know that was something you were looking forward to.
I was looking forward to both of them.
Yeah, both of them. But, like, you know, you're a big Kevin Nash guy when he does those interviews and shit like that. You think it's, like, the shit. Because it is.
It is.
Because he's doing a really good job, like, explaining things, just being funny. Like, he's a good character. Like, he's a good person.
If they could get a Kevin Nash, not Diesel, a Kevin Nash-like character on those documentaries that I was talking to you about that me and Ben were mentioning, I think it's called Kayfabe. What the hell is it called? Kayfabe News or something like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, Kayfabe commentaries.
Okay.
If you could get where it's like uncensored, they're not talking about, like, they don't do drugs on the show. They don't shoot people on the show. It's just him being, you know, uncensored with his sense of humor. If you could get someone like Kevin Nash in the WWE right now, I firmly believe that they would be a superstar. But just his personality, if you could get someone that has his personality in the back, Vince or whoever goes up to him and says, I think you could save the business by you just being yourself out there. Say whatever you want. We'll try to bleep it if we can. If not, then it'll be the element of surprise. Like, oh my God, they didn't censor it out type of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
right. In a real, like, live production type thing, there's always a delay though too. So it's never like they'd have to worry about that.
Right.
At any live broadcasting with whatever you watch that's live, whether it be sports, news, anything like that, entertainment, wrestling, that type of thing, there's always like a 10-15 second delay. It's just a thing that happens, so like they wouldn't have to worry about that. They do that to save themselves too for the FCC, but I know what I mean. Like, I wouldn't even start putting shit on television anymore. Like, if they have a network, you can put everything on the network. There can't be that many strict practices and standards for networks, because you're paying for it. I mean, you're paying for cable too, in a sense, but there is some cable that you can get for free still. So I could kind of see that, if you think about it that way, if they're trying to protect children or whatever that could get access to it for free regardless, then yeah, you know, you protect your big networks, and I'm using that in quotations because I'm sure they haven't seen million views in quite some time. At least that's the way I think of it. I don't watch TV, so
no.
But it's funny because we're a small pool, and I feel like me and you both, we run into people that are like, yeah, I just stream Netflix or Hulu, or you know what I mean? Like, that's it. You know, that's all
that's,
you really need.
That's the big thing nowadays. A lot of people like that pool is getting bigger and bigger, and it's the people that are, you know, the age range from like 50 and up, they're the people that still have cable.
Yeah.
The majority of them, especially like even like the people, you know, our seniors, they all have cable. That's all they know. So, but going back to the documentaries, like Lex Luger's Icons, all those Icons documentaries, they've come out on time every time.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I thought that there was some sort of a backlash with Lex Luger or something, that he was still under investigation for something, so that's why they didn't post it. But when they didn't post the Stone Cold Steve Austin Broken Skull sessions with Kevin Nash, I'm a little puzzled now, because those guys both have they're both pretty clean underneath the radar. They have no we're investigating so and so because he was involved in a DUI or something like that. Like, that, none of that's happened. So my thing is, I want to know what's up with Peacock that they're just moving stuff. From what I was told, from what I've read, I shouldn't say what I was told, from what I've read is that they're going to try to wait to pop them on after the pay-per-views every time.
That's what I thought I heard, too. I thought I heard now they just want to get more eyes on it after, like, a major pay-per-view that they host. And they'll be like, oh, hey, immediately following the pay-per-view, now you got the Broken Skull sessions and shit like that.
Don't advertise it, then. Don't advertise it until you know that. Because a lot of people are looking forward to that. You're going to turn them off from that.
Yeah, I feel like that was a flub on their end. Because they probably had time to, like, not advertise it so much, but they might have been like shooting the head of the gun or whatever, just like being like a little trigger happy and being all, oh well, we got all this great stuff, it's coming out right now. And it's like, well, you know, if we, you know, this is a wasted opportunity on our end. This is WWE thinking, because if we throw it on, like, you know, a Wednesday or something when nothing's going on, then, you know, who's gonna watch it? But I, you know what I mean, I look forward to that stuff too.
Me too.
I'm like you. I'd rather it just, if they said it, then just go with it and have it come out. So that, I bet you any money they're probably worried. I wonder if they think that the numbers would help it better if they had like that original program versus the pay-per-views. You know what I mean?
Dude, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think that they're like, well, instead of us putting on here, we know everyone's going to watch this because this is, you know, people are really interested in our documentaries and our interviews. But, like, you know what? I don't think the TLC or the Money in the Bank numbers are going to be that great. All Let's right. pop it on after that so maybe we can get everyone to tune in so that way our numbers are up higher. No, I hear you. I agree. That's the first thing that came to mind, too. But the thing that really puzzled me a lot was that you're advertising it, and then there's nothing out that says that they're not airing it now. Like, no one, WWE didn't say it, Peacock TV on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, nobody said it. The people that were saying it were like the Ringside News people and like these third party type of wrestling, like fans like us, that find it out and then they start tweeting about it. So
that is very strange for like something like if there's like major program updates like that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you just go completely dark under the, like you go dark and don't say we're pushing it back. You know what I mean? Like that is weird. That is strange for a big company to do that. It's like really weird because I don't think anything is happening with Lex Luger. You know, like this documentary is, if this was the WWE network, it would be on the WWE network. This isn't like an A&E type thing. It's not like NBC put the documentary together and they're going to put it on Peacock. It's,
yeah,
it's like WWE doing it. So how much, you know,
excuse me,
after I got out of my naive headspace of that, how much do you think they're going to, like, how much is it of a redemption type documentary for Lex Luger versus a you know, Ultimate Warrior style type documentary where they like buried the guy, you know what I mean? I feel like they had Lex Luger on because there was a couple previews where they had like Lex Luger talking and shit like that.
Yeah,
so I think they're trying to, like, you know, just it's like his redemption story and stuff like that, so they're trying to get eyes on him. So, you know, it would have been great to have him on, you know, have this going on and like around the 4th of July because that's America, you know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I feel like with anything, and I always say this in every freaking podcast that we do where it comes up, you always want to do your research too. You always want to, like, you know, okay, that's interesting, whether it be a news article that you read or something you found on some sort of website, you always kind of want to go, okay, I'm going to believe like 70% of it, like, you know, 75% of it, but I want to go do my research and like see exactly what it's about. Like, that's how the WWE, all the WWE documentaries I ever fucking watched, I never thought. I talked about earlier with the ECW one, you know, how the ECW one was like doing the documentary as if it was its own company, when in regard, you know, if you go and listen to the Paul Heyman one, then you're like, oh well, like WWE is giving money and all this. And I guess, you know, the real smart wrestling fans knew that, and I, you know, eventually knew of it. But then when you have the documentaries like kind of contradicting themselves, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting, you know.
After all the research that has been done and like how it's ECW has been so like spread out throughout the years,
mm-hmm.
the way that, like you said, like the common wrestling fan would think that it was its own promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the wrestlers within the promotion thought that as well.
Yeah, I think
then,
so too.
And then they're literally killing themselves to like keep it afloat, and then the promotion and the sales and all this different types of stuff. But And then Paulie knew the whole entire time that he took the risks that he was taking because he knew he had some sort of a security blanket that at one point Vince could just buy it, or, you know, they could go quote unquote bankrupt. And Paulie's sitting nice right now, as much as the other guys, not so much, unless you got a job working for WWE years and years down the road.
No, and you know, I always harp on that ECW like story of like how they did that with the commentaries, but it's the same thing with WCW, with like, you know, you didn't know if Vince Russo was the one that fucking sank the ship there, or right. if it was, you know, there's like five different stories that come out with why Vince Russo really wanted Booker T to be the World Heavyweight Champion, like versus what he said on the air versus what his own agenda was. And, you know, and then like, how can a man that was only running WCW for so long put it in, you know, be the final, well, I guess they could be the final blow into that ship to sink it. But like, you know, it was coming downhill a hell of a lot sooner than, you know, before he could have even, you know, before they right. even named him that. So
he was like, the nail in the coffin.
He was the nail in the coffin, but he wasn't the total to blame guy, Vince Russo.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's years and years of just poor management and stuff like
that. He wasn't the mercenary sent from the WWF headquarters in Stanford.
Okay. Yes. Yes, Mr. Russo. That's exactly right. He would be the first to tell you that.
Really?
But like, you know, it's just interesting with all those different stories. You'll hear like, like documentaries on like a pay-per-view, it'll go 15 different ways until you realize, oh, okay, well, I, you know, yeah, it seemed like WrestleMania, you know, blah, 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 was really like tooth and nail to put together. But in reality, they had it all set up. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
how they want to angle that story. And that's what a lot of things do. So getting back to, you know, the Lex Luger documentary, I'd be interested to see what that they do. You know, the Peacock network for, you know, the WWE
right.
network for the Peacock network. And then like say, oh, you know, then, you know, Vice does a Lex Luger. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, then you're going to be like, okay, you could take both of those and be like, okay, they're saying this on both of them, so that part might be true. But then, like, you know, WWE's excuse, like, so far to the left on this one topic, you know, say, like, the, you know, Miss Elizabeth thing or something yeah. like that, that you're like, oh, that's weird. Because, you know, they won't touch base with that on this. Oh, they will not talk about that at all, because Lex was in a certain mindset with drugs and things like that. That
they do, know. Though. They do talk about it, though. They don't emphasize it because there's a preview for the Icons thing as well for Lex Luger.
Right.
And they talk about it. He's like, I don't know. I'm scared. And they just put that clip. That's when he found Miss Elizabeth dead. But I think I feel like WWE, like it's the Monday Night Wars, how that was right now. Mm-hmm. Now it's the documentary wars.
Yeah.
And it's like, right. who could produce a better documentary? And in my opinion, Vice is just taken over.
Yeah, because they have sponsors for their network, but they're not holding anything to the WWE, like, you know, any wrestling promotion. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't have to hold the wrestling promotions now. Whether they start doing I mean, I know AEW hasn't been around as long as a dog fart, but like, you know what I mean? Like, they could literally do something on either side of the fence, and they're not trying to save face. They're just trying to get you as, like, you know, into that story as humanly possible so that they can get eyes onto the network. And, you know, it's awesome to be a wrestling fan because we have two wrestling promotions, but it's also awesome to be a wrestling fan because we have a lot of original programming where they talk about the taboo of wrestling that they wouldn't talk about certain aspects of the business back then when it was real. And I'm using, you know, quote unquote real and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But now, like, it's awesome to just hear those, like, you know, anytime they have those Dark Side of the Ring things, you know, that type of stuff. It's just awesome.
It is. I agree. And the thing is, with like everything going on in wrestling nowadays, it's really like, if I was only a Raw and SmackDown type of guy, I would have stopped watching wrestling absolutely 10 plus years ago because of just how like bad it is. Mm-hmm. But maybe 8 or 9 years, because when Punk was in it, he made it fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I mean, right now, if you're not watching AEW NXT, you probably aren't having a good time watching wrestling.
No, and I would try to – I remember always doing this, and I've done it up until, like, I want to say, like, most recently. I would always try to, like, if I knew, like, my programming was kind of falling by the wayside, I would try to go back to the last show I missed and try to watch up to catch up. Boy, right. I haven't been doing that. I've been seeing them just like just expire off Hulu, and I'm like, you know, I don't have to watch it, I guess. You know, I just, you know, I'm like more interested in, like, right now we have Amazon Prime, so I'm watching a lot of stuff off there. You know, other programs. I mean, if we want to get into the whatever portion of our broadcast right now before we go back into wrestling, is there anything you're watching currently, even like, you know, different sports, you know, playoffs, things like that? Is there anything that you're watching that you're kind of engrossed in right now?
To be completely honest, I am so busy
with
the whole real estate game right now, and just trying to be an adult, which is really tough. Whatever I watch, so I watch UFC. Mm-hmm. I watched the McGregor Poirier fight, which was there. It's everything's just meme gold anymore. It's just everything's just a meme, and you gotta love it. But I watched that. I'm right now. It's July, mid July. If we're gonna time stamp it, mid July, 2021. This is, I think, 2 weeks away from the first preseason NFL game, which, as you know, Mikey, you've known me for as long as you can remember now. I'm a huge football fan. I'm a huge Minnesota Vikings fan. So it's just like Christmas. When football comes back and it's the opening kickoff, it is literally Christmas morning for me. So I'm right now trying to watch, because I don't have cable. I have Netflix. I have Amazon Prime. I believe we have Amazon Prime Video as well. So we watch whatever's on there. We got a lot of that free TV stuff, like Tubi.
Yeah, and all that stuff. Got stuff that Pluto. I go into and watch and shit.
Same. There's a lot of NFL stuff on there too. I'll pop that on. But mostly I've just been catching online on ESPN. As I have ESPN Plus, which I could watch the UFC fight nights, which aren't available except for on ESPN Plus. So that's something I invested money in. I've been watching a lot of UFC fights, a lot of clips. But mostly I've been watching like training camps for the NFL, and I've been watching the Vikings and whatnot, trying to get hyped up. But I know that team's one injury away from being plagued with the first round pick for the draft, which is never a good thing, but it could be a good thing. But I've been watching a lot of clips of football via Instagram. They have a lot of reels, they call it, on there, where I'll watch reels of this M. Dangerously guy sharing pictures, which I screenshot and I save it. Just kidding. I'll watch a lot of the NFL clips of just like news updates and whatnot. Just ESPN, really, when it comes down to it, that's what I watch if there's anything good on there. But TV wise, I don't really watch a lot of TV. AEW, I'll watch tomorrow. And that's the thing, Mikey. Like, I watch AEW more than anything. Right. Me and my brother-in-law Robert, very, very big AEW fan. We'll talk about it all the time. I'll try to catch it. And I just find AEW right now for the, I hate to call myself a casual wrestling fan, but the product has made me
a casual wrestling fan.
A casual wrestling fan.
I completely agree with you. I used to go to watch it every day, like, you know, every damn time. Be like, you know, and then me and you could talk about it because we would watch it all the time and be like, remember when so-and-so said this on, you know, commentary and it was so funny? It's like now I don't even know. Man. I don't even know.
Same.
You know, like
I don't even know who the commentators are, to be honest.
The last big thing about wrestling, again, that when we go back into the, you know, since this is the whatever portion, was that Jimmy and or Jay with the drug charge or the DUI charge.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, like, I haven't, like, watched anything other than, you know, again, not to cut you off, I've been watching a lot of stuff. We've been watching just movies when we get done with work and stuff. And honestly, I find, like, at points in my life when I get done with work, to my head, if we're not going out, going somewhere. Now, since we're kind of almost in a post pandemic phase and stuff like that, starting to get used to going out and stuff like that. You know, the missus and I would travel, you know what I mean? And I know we'd not travel big, like we'd get on planes and jump to, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, all the way.
Travel around the area.
Exactly. But like, you know, I can't, like, in good faith of myself, I can't just sit and just like watch TV. I have to either, like, I don't think of playing video games the same as sitting and watching television, because at least I'm being in, like, I'm being active with stuff in games. Now, like, when you play a game to sit down on a couch and watch TV on it, that's a different story.
Right, right.
It's like Gameception. But, well, no, I guess Gameception would technically be going onto a game to play a game in that game.
Like virtual reality?
No, like Grand Theft Auto. Like, you can go to an arcade and you could play a game in an arcade.
Oh yeah, play.
So you're literally playing. Yeah, that's Gameception. I think playing a game where you're sitting on a couch watching television, because you could also do that in Grand Theft Auto. That's like game TVception or game channel watchingception. Anyway, but like I don't know. Like, I don't feel like I'm not doing anything when I'm sitting playing games, because I've got a bunch of games that I could sit in and, like, you know, and complete, you know, get goals accomplished in the game and stuff like that. So I'd rather sit and, you know, waste 2 hours playing a game versus sitting watching television. So, you know, I try not to watch television. Right? Like, that's what I was trying. That's eventually what I was getting towards, is that I could.
Same.
I don't have to watch television to be, like, content. I could. And if we're not going anywhere, which, again, now we're slowly starting to get to go places, at least we're getting out and discovering the great old USA to the best of our abilities. I will sit and gladly, if there's a game that I got DLC for, I will go and I will, like, play that game and, you know, complete the DLC
I think it's the same thing for our misses as well, because, like, if me and you aren't watching, let's say, maybe a movie or something, or something that we both like, we're either playing some sort of a game, whether it's our misses playing, you know, on the Switch or reading something or gaming. Right. Like, the TV era is gone. That's why WWE is doing, like, if they didn't have the network right now, I think they'd be in bad shape, or shall I say, Peacock. But
could you, I would definitely say for Peacock, but even for being on Hulu, could you imagine? I know the ratings are low. They're never going to be like how they are in the 90s or how they were during that Monday Night War era, where they were hitting, you know, close to 3 million eyes, you know what I mean? Like, that type of deal. Like, now they're lucky if they can get up to 1 million, you know?
Right.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. I feel like the dawn of the TV, it used to be that whole, like, TV room, you know what I mean? People used to sit around the TV and they would watch the program. But now I think with, like, the way society is now, I mean, we have that room that has the TV on the wall or, you know, on its TV stand, but it's there. You know what I mean? We're not.
It's literally collecting dust.
Yeah. That's crazy. But that's good, too, because you have to think, for a while as a society, for a long time, people were hooked. Like, that was their drug. They'd go home after work, sit in front of that boob tube and watch the old Jackson Gleason. You know what I mean? But now we're like, you know. We're either on our phones where we can at least watch, you know, like you said, those reels or something on YouTube or something like that. And you can still kind of semi-function, semi-go about your day and be outside or, you know, just, you know, take in the surroundings and shit. And I feel like as you get older, some of our listeners that might be younger, like still in high school or something like that. Yeah, it's you do you. But when you get older, you know, you'll want to, like, go to a park, you know, go for a jog, things like that. That's kind of fun. You know, that starts to be fun.
And even with some of those games, like that Pokemon Go, I mean, that's an active game on your phone where it makes you walk around. So, I mean, there's the world has, I'm trying to think of the word here. The world has evolved since the 1990s and the 70s and the 80s, like where, like you said, cable television. When cable came out, that was the shit back in the 80s. And then WrestleMania came about, pay-per-view, this, that. It's just like the wrestling evolved quite well with the times back in the '80s and whatnot. But
with the
now,
way,
not
with
so
the
much.
Way, yeah, like you said, well, with the way we had technology progressing, you know, it was getting better and it was awesome. And then, you know, I don't think WWE or wrestling in general, well, I could say WWE because they've been around the longest, but wrestling in general, like wrestling programs in general, didn't get behind that ball quick enough to be like, hey, you know, we're going to have our own network and hey, we're going to, you know,
right.
There's all this, you know what I mean? It took them a while to like get into that. Yeah. But they'd say, quote unquote, Bruce Pritchard would say Vince had the idea well back when, but Bruce Pritchard's probably sucking Vince's ass somewhere, but you know,
absolutely.
So speaking of sucking ass, why don't we take a break right now to suck some ass from our sponsors? We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of an ice cold Loco coffee. I always have one before I record wrestling and whatever, because it's that damn good. Start feeling good about your daily coffee consumption. Loco Coffee delivers benefits that go above and beyond the average cold brew coffee and is geared towards fueling your active lifestyle with all natural, no BS ingredients, and zero added sugar. The added coconut water and maple water provides electrolytes and antioxidants for an enhanced, clean coffee experience. This is the perfect pre- and post-workout drink. Don't forget to use our promo code WRESTLINGWE for 10% off of your next order off of any Loco coffee you purchase on lococoffee.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another fan-filled episode. And by fan-filled, that just it's mean me and Jagla right now. Wrestling whatever, baby. And you just heard beautiful, beautiful words from our beautiful, beautiful sponsors. And let me tell you again, if you're looking, if you're in the market for some shades to make you look like a member of the Four Horsemen, you want to go with Boosted Shades, and you want to use our promo code right now.
Woo!
15% off your first purchase, or I guess purchase in general, right? Purchases.
No, it's all purchases.
Yeah. Baby, it's all purchases all the time using that promo code WRESTLINGWE. And if you want to still stick with that promo code, which is WRESTLINGWE, our excellent, exquisite, lovely friends at Loco Coffee will give you 10% off with that same promo code. That's WRESTLINGWE. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're ever interested in that sweet, sweet taste of cold brew canned coffee, you can't go wrong with a Loco Coffee. You could go to your store and maybe you can find them on the shelves. To me personally, it's far and few. But if you go online, you get nice packs of cold brew coffee, and you can't go wrong with that. You know, why hassle with getting in your car, driving, you know, to a grocery store that may or may not have them on the shelf, when you could just go to our fine folks at drinklococoffee.com and use that promo code, get 10% off for yourself. Hey, pick up a pack on, you know, on us. I mean, 10% off on us, but right still. You know, it's on us.
The thing too, Mikey, when I went to Wegmans, which is like they're one of their prime sellers, it's always like sold out.
That's the other thing. That's the other issue is you go there when you know the place, when you finally find the place that sells the Loco coffee, it's not on the shelf. So
yeah. It's not that they don't restock it.
Yeah.
But they suck. People just buy it.
It sells out.
And to add to what Mikey has said here as well, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you don't want to pester around with that coffee pot or with that Keurig.
That's it.
Even though Keurig's like maybe one of the easiest ways to make coffee.
It's still fucking lazy. I can't press that button.
If you're really in a rush and you really got to go, let's say you have to get a meeting or something, just grab your can of ice cold Loco coffee from the fridge and bolt and get to your place, whether you're a minute late or 5 minutes early.
You saying bolt. And like I said, what the lady friend and I like to do from time to time too is we will pour that nice can of cold brew coffee the coconut water one, because I know you're the maple honey, maple syrup baby.
Maple water.
Maple water.
You're close.
But I do and I do it over some ice, and I put a little bit of sugar in that, put a little bit of cream in that.
Ladies and gentlemen, also make sure not to get too much on the Loco Coffee train here.
Oh, it's too late.
We're already on. Make sure you shake the hell out of that can.
Yes.
Because I, for the longest time, was not. And I was like, it tastes great regardless. But when you shake it up, like good, firm shake, oh my God,
I'll tell you what, not to cut you off, but we keep cutting each other off. But even with like certain coffees in a can, I think you should shake.
Yeah.
I know for Monster, I got the Java from Sam's Club. And that's where I get it, because it's a good price. If you go to a Sam's Club or if you go to a Costco or whatever, your giant chain warehouse full sales distributor store is, you shake those cans up. That's how you get the better flavor out of them, too. I did not know that either with the Java coffee. But yeah, with the Monster Java. But yeah,
the vanilla. The vanilla job is really good.
You got to shake that up.
Mm-hmm. Let it sit for a minute so it doesn't explode. So that's everywhere.
Yeah, you can do it with the other can too, with the Loco too. You want to let it sit. You don't want to.
I have one can of the vanilla honey left that I'm trying to preserve because it is very good. I don't want to drink it just yet because it's one of those things where I like to keep one can out of every case that I have just as a backup.
Because I never know. Other case comes in. Yeah.
Exactly. Is I don't want to.
Completely
like,
understand.
I have more maple water on its way today. Used a nice promo code of Wrestling WE for that. And it's the perks. It's the perks of having your own podcast at Coffee Lux.
Hey, listen, it's not easy either having our own podcast. If it was that easy, everybody'd be doing it. But, they're not. So
everybody's doing it.
Shut up. What makes you so special?
We're unique New York.
Unique New York. Unique New York. Make sure your peas pop. I always say that to the missus. She looks at me and she goes, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm popping my peas.
I'm popping my peas and popping my pills.
Speaking of pills, speaking of DUIs, speaking of fucking, when's enough enough? When is someone going to be like, I don't care if you're part of this alleged wrestling family, sort your fucking life out, mate. We're talking about Jimmy or Jay Uso. Uso, I guess we'll just say Uso behind bars now. Uso getting pulled over with a, this is his fourth time with this under the influence charge.
What do you think he says when the cops pull him over?
What up, Oos? Hey, Oos.
Let's like,
drive my car, Oos.
You know, that's the cop just being like, you know how fast you were going, Oos? You're going 72 in the other fucking lane.
This is a school zone. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
School's out, but you're still managing to hit kids.
But yeah, I mean, listen, I understand, it may sound like I don't understand it with the tone of my voice, but I get it. You know, alcohol is an addiction. Drugs are addictions. Yada, yada, yada. Shit at the brisk. But, you have it good. You've just come back. They're going to put you in a storyline where they're kind of you guys are literally like main event Usoing. You know what I mean? Like, don't fuck it up because they're like lenient to a point, but like you keep doing this, they're going to be like, just let Roman Reigns do something and we'll forget about the Usos because they obviously can't handle the pressure. Maybe let's say of like being famous, like the fame that happens when you become a rising superstar. But it's so funny because I look at the Usos and I still don't see that. I don't see
me either.
I still see them as just like tag team, mid-carders maybe, but I know that's WWE trying to push them into being around Roman Reigns to make, them like up there. But it's hard when your personal life keeps interfering with like what they're trying to do with you on television. But, maybe he just knows the product shit. So he just says, fuck it, I don't care.
That's the thing too. Like I appreciate the Usos getting DUIs because it kind of brings it back to life to make everyone know that, hey, this really isn't that easy. It's being not on for the everybody. Road.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone. And remember, like, back in the 90s and the early 2000s when, like, a high-profile wrestler would always get busted by the cops somehow?
Yep.
It's just like it kind of gives you that 90s feel. So I know it's pretty pretty selfish as a fan, but I still find it funny because it's like, okay, this is your sixth DUI or whatever the account may be. It kind of makes you wonder if he's got like a picture of like Vince grinding on Rikishi or something.
I don't know. What? So let's throw this rhetorical question at you. Let's say in your day-to-day life as a, let's say you are the head of your, realtor company. All right. You're the head cheese, but you have little mini cheeses that go around and show houses to people. But one of your best, mid card performer who's getting pushed by their cousin, which is really, it's getting kind of specific, but let's say, okay. So in your realtor business, there is a mid-carder performer that's getting pushed by their cousin who's selling you, making you buco bucks. But the cousin's like, I could get, my mid-carder cousin to also get there. But, he just has to, we have to work on it. And, you're like, okay. But then that guy now, he starts fucking pissing in your fucking plants. And he keeps showing up to work drunk. Like, what do you do? Do you let him go, or do you understand? Like, are you doing your best worker a favor and trying to keep his family, employed, no. Or are you saying fuck it? I got to think about this business. I got to think about, PR because it's getting out that he's driving on sidewalks. He's showing up, showing people houses drunk. It's not really doing a good image. For my business, like, what do you do
in an instance like that? I mean, the way you're saying it, it's like if I was a broker and one of my realtors were like top realtor was doing absolutely fantastic, he's the face of my company, and yet his cousin, who is also a realtor, but he's a mid-performing type of one who he's not selling as many houses, but he could sell if he wanted to, and he could sell really well, but he's doing illegal things in the field of real estate. Yeah, I mean, in the world of real estate, he'd be gone,
right?
Because your license would get taken away immediately,
right?
Or it'd be suspended. I think he's already been suspended. If we're gonna talk about the Oos for a second,
yeah,
it's business, and that's the way that they would look at it. In if we were to compare to what you were saying, your comparison. It's business. Business always comes first. So when it comes down to it, the business is what's paying everybody else. They're not going to take I don't see Uso being there much longer if he's continuously doing this and if he doesn't go to rehab. If rehab isn't in the cards, like how they do with that with Jeff Hardy, if that's the case where they don't have that, I think you're going to see him go. Who knows if he goes, one of the other Oos, he might, flounder. It'd be like the headbangers. It'd be like having, like, when Thrasher wasn't there and Mosh was his game, the guy that he was? Buster Poindexter or some shit like that?
Oh, yeah.
Shit,
yeah,
on his head?
I remember that, yeah.
How did that work out for Mosh?
Didn't last long.
Not that good at all. But it was because Thrasher was injured.
When you come in as a tag team, I'm expecting, you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of do... unless you could bust out like Shawn Michaels did,
exactly.
Or but I can't see. I look at the Usos, I look at these, like even if they're trying to push the Street Profits too, I'm like, I these guys were great in NXT, not Usos because I know they weren't, but the Street Profits, very entertaining in NXT. Now I can't think of them as top performers, like
The storyline as well as back in the 90s. If a guy was like a mid performer, not mid Carter, but a mid performer, where he was just like, okay, we could take something from WCW, offer them a contract, and have this guy out of here. But the way that it is right now, the storylines would save a wrestler back in the 90s. If it really got over and it was just like, Val Venus, for example, if the Hello Ladies and the porn star gimmick didn't get over and he was doing some crazy shit, mm-hmm. he would have been gone. Same thing with, in an instance today, the storylines are just so bland and so
right.
so garbage that like they're not going to save you, regardless if you're part of the table, so to speak.
Yeah,
you could get replaced instantly because that maybe that's another reason why they do the storylines the way they do, so they could be easily replicated,
like interchangeable or whatever. Yeah. Like they could just remove this part, and we're gonna put this right. Because again, here's the thing. There was that Money in the Bank match that was supposed to happen. Bayley was supposed to be in the woman's Money in the Bank, and she'd gotten injured training or something. And so now they're changing her out. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, is that storyline, the progression, just so interchangeable that we're just going to pop a woman out and just put another woman in? And it's going to be the same match, but, you know, instead of, you know, Superstar A, we've got Superstar B, you know, or like the created wrestlers that they had back in the day.
Right.
Superstar C.
It comes down to it nowadays. Anybody, and I mean anybody, could be replaced. Yeah, that's even counting Roman Reigns. That's counting Sami Zayn. That's counting Cesaro, Seth Rollins. You name it. Any show, any superstar could be replaced at any time. And even kind of showed that back in the 90s too, except for The Rock and Stone Cold,
right.
Because they were so over.
Yeah.
They were over like
Rovers.
But that's just really how it is, and that's how I think it is nowadays. And it's funny, Mike, that you bring up Bayley, because I've been reading stuff online, and sometimes you want to ask what I do when I'm not at work or whatever. Sometimes I catch myself in a loophole of a sinkhole, if you will, of just reading comments and just seeing the amount of people in this world that are so either simple minded or so woke, if you will. Somebody said, oh, Bailey's out for 9 months, exactly 9 months. We know what that is. And then you have the females on there. Just because a woman, because she's out 9 months, doesn't mean that she's pregnant, you fucking fascist and you sexist pigs. It's like, it's just so funny to sit back. Like, that's the true entertainment right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, you got Karen saying, oh, just because she's out 9 months, doesn't mean she's pregnant. And then you got a Tom over here saying, oh, she's pregnant. Like, it's just so funny to read and be like, wow, I'm neither of these people. This is entertaining. And, you know, when it comes down to it, because of how us as fans, that's another reason I'm reading this too, that Tom is like 38.
Yeah.
And he's been a wrestling fan forever, more than likely, like us. That's why he's commenting on it. And we've been so programmed from the WWE and WCW and wrestling in general with the whole not breaking character and the whole kayfabe thing of somehow keeping some sort of element of surprise or personal issue behind that coitin and not letting you know exactly what's going on. So, hey, maybe Bayley really did, like, let's say she broke her clavicle or something. She needs to be out for that long. Or maybe she's pregnant. Regardless of what it is, I guess it's personal enough that if they say it's an injury and it's not an injury, then we have to believe that it's an injury. If not, it's just an injury. And
I thought really you were going to go on the other route, though, too, that the fact that, like, they'll say, like, the way we are with wrestling as being wrestling fans, like, say maybe that Tom is as well, there's that just that speculation of, like, oh, are they really injured or are they just – you know what I mean? Are
hiding
they out?
Something.
Are they out? You know what I mean? Like, or do they take, is this their personal time? Because just the way the wrestling organizations are, they're not going to say, oh, you know, due to, you know, the passing of somebody in the family, Bailey's going to be out for 9 months. You know, like that, like that type of shit.
That or Bailey, they're not going to say, WWE is sad to hear that Bailey is going through mental issues at this time. So it needs to be, they're not going to do that yet.
No.
I don't think.
No.
But
you know, what do you think about when a company, whether it be AEW or WWE, sets those press junkets out where they're like, ooh, I heard that one.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Is that The Undertaker? Is that Kane? Oh, that's coming.
I'm waiting for my power to go out.
that's coming down our way, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to ask the question before I got rudely interrupted by Mother Nature. Fucking bitch, get
that
off your
bitch.
Rag.
Stop storming every day.
Seriously, every day this week.
It's been pouring.
Do you rather the company peeling back the curtain and saying, you know, such and such has been released, or now, since there are a lot of different companies, that they could just let them go? And if they show up on the other program, they show up on the other program, they just like write them off. But they should just write them off, though, too. I think that's what I think they should do.
Right.
As I think they should have, if they know, okay, we're going to release you, but you know, we're going to have a, not, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a feel good thing. Like when Chris Jericho got canned from WWE, like the second or third time, he was like kicking and screaming. They're pulling him up the ramp. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Something. So like it's done right now. You know, this character leading up to this point, he's done, you well, know, at least.
Well, that's another thing too, Mikey, is that, not to cut you off, but like the storylines, that's what it comes down to. Like, they feel like they do this on purpose, yeah. Because Jericho had a great storyline. He knew he was leaving. He wanted to leave. He wanted to take some time off. But I feel like they don't give a shit about the storyline enough to be like, okay, Chris wants some time off, so we're going to have a winner retires match between him and someone who everyone think is going to retire, but it's actually going to be
exactly
him.
Exactly.
They don't put the time and effort into it.
No, because I don't know if because the releases are so abrupt in that company that it gets to the point where they don't even know that they're releasing certain people. Like Triple H didn't know Samoa Joe was released when he was like, oh, we'll grab him. We'll do something special with him. No, R.I.P. Terry Funk. No, I know he didn't die.
He's still alive.
That's not a joke. The joke is the fact that the news is saying that he's like in worse shape than he actually might be in.
And if I read that was bullshit.
Because he's dying or he has dementia or whatever. But
he does have dementia, but apparently he's doing good.
But they said they put him in a home, so I mean, it could be pretty bad in that sense because he just isn't with it. You know, his faculties aren't with it as well as they used to be. But were they ever really with it when they were thinking about Terry Funk?
I mean, at least he could spell wrestling. Exactly. And that's WRESTLING.
But we do wish him the best. You know, speedy recovery. I don't know if that happens with dementia.
No, it does not.
But just, you know, I hope he gets the help and all that shit. But getting back to the main point is, then it's like, okay, you know, you're going to release Braun Strowman. Or do you even know you're going to release these superstars? Does it come? Does Monday morning hit right? And there's just a paper on Vince's desk saying, or not even a paper on Vince's desk, a paper on whoever has to release the superstars desk. So creative, or you know, not creative, talent relations,
the executives,
and you know, we got to let these guys go, and you can't even build that loser retires match or whatever,
right?
Because they're just like, well, we're more thinking about the company and we got to save money. So just let him go, you know?
And if you don't have the belt or if you don't have anything going on at that time, you're shit out of luck.
But did Braun not have anything going on that they just released him that quick?
He didn't. It's unfortunate that they didn't, because they gave him the ball. Apparently they didn't think he was doing well with it and they dropped the belt. Next thing you know, that's when they gave the belt back to Roman.
But just a year or 2 years ago, I think it was the first pandemic WrestleMania.
Yeah,
they said he's your replacement, and then he's gonna win the match. You know what I mean? Like it's nuts. Like what a year could do with like you know, and it's not that they don't have anything for these wrestlers. It's that there's nothing.
There's too many of them.
Right. There's no room for them. So like, you're just gonna start letting go of the wrong guy. You know, like
now the
like,
way
again,
I
like
look
Samoa
at.
Joe, or like you kept, you know, Billy Kay and fucking, you know, and then, you know, they eventually let go of both the Iconics. Or no, did they leave both the Iconics at the same?
Both,
but
the
like
same,
you know,
time.
What I mean, like I don't know.
This is the way I look at it.
Yeah,
if you were to create a WWE 2K22 game right now. Right. And it was based off of how we, as fans, me and you, let's just say me and you, were creating the roster for this team, for this game. None of those guys are getting an overall over a 79 tonight.
Right? You're absolutely right. Even the fucking, like, I would have scoffed if I looked at the Usos and they were over an 80. And
yeah.
Like, I'd be like,
even
what?
Roman.
Yeah, Roman would be like 89.
Roman is the highest overall guy for me would be Roman, and he would be at like an 81. Bobby Lashley would be at an 80 only because of his strength. Okay. But every, like, if we were legitimately, okay, like, popularity for us.
Yeah.
Popularity and, like, storyline value, like, the guy, the overall, the guy. I want to be the guy.
The guy.
But, like, if we were to do that, if we were to do a game right now where we created that, honestly, I wouldn't have anyone over an 80. I'd have everyone would be 70s and 60s.
Those
and
years, putting it lightly. In those 2K games when they'd have, like, John Cena as the highest overall, I remember playing with Kyle, my former neighbor, but still good friend. We'd be playing the wrestling games and, like, you know, because that was, like, he'd be my neighbor, so he'd literally come over and we'd just play, like, local instead of online.
Right.
And it's just one of those things, like, you see John Cena's at a 96 and he's over The Undertaker. It's like, are you fucking stupid? Like,
yeah, what? That's, you know, never, I mean? That's never.
But now, yeah, any of these guys now, if the roster, 2K22, highest overall, 82.
Yeah,
because like
on, and that's really, and the majority gracious.
Of the and the majority of the highest overalls would be the ladies too.
They really would. NXT people would be probably the highest if I was to do it right, or if they had a NXT versus AEW game. Yeah. Those would be all the higher because those are the people.
Well, the AEW guys would be at 70s.
No, yeah. Not them all. Kenny Omega would be at a 91.
No, okay, you're 91. Kenny Omega is making me John Cena pissed there for a second. Nah, fucking Don Callis is going to be a 91 too, right?
Don Callis would be better in charisma, the game than, right? Paul Heyman would have been in any games. Oh, then right, fireworks.
Boy. All right, boy. Next time I see you.
The next time I see you, I'm giving you a chop from hell. No, but you know what I mean, though. No, like, in regards to, like, there's nothing that's really attracting us
to put these guys over. Yeah. Yeah. To have these guys over, you know?
And like I said, this is turning into Nut Wrestling and Whatever anymore. We should just change the name of this podcast to We Fucking Hate Wrestling.
Bitching and pissing.
Bitching and whatever.
Yeah.
But like, it's just the product could be so much better, especially on the landscape that you guys have it on, that you have the access to networks. Like, for example, not to suck off UFC here, but they do it right. They have a fight night every weekend, and they have a pay-per-view once every, like, every 4 months, kind of like the Big Four.
That's a good way to do, like,
but maybe
like a promotion, or like just to do a schedule, like a calendar, so we can have it built up.
Maybe they should do something. Like, remember how I was mentioning to you in the past, on previous episodes, where we should have a show that's 1 hour that's uncensored on the network and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. Maybe have something like that where it's that, but it's every Saturday it's on. Not like a Saturday night's main event, but something along those lines where it's on every, you know, every Saturday.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to cut you off right here. I don't think they should worry about live views. I don't think they should. I think the whole Nielsen rating is brought to shit. I understand if you want to catch UFC on that main event on Sunday or on Saturday night and you want to catch it, but the only reason you really want to catch it is so you are in with the conversation and you don't get it spoiled. I completely understand that. I get you on that point. But with wrestling programs where it's a SmackDown or a Raw, or if you're going to do that UFC where it's like every, what, Friday or whatever, if you don't care because they're all kind of semi-exhibition matches or it's a whatever, just know your show is going to come out like how they do certain podcasts. Oh, you know, the show's going to be available to you at 11 o'clock on Friday. But then it's there for you forever. You know what I mean? Because you have the networks. It's going to be on there. But I get it. If you want to watch the pay-per-views live to get that experience, more power to you. If you want to go to the venue to watch it, I get you on that too. But wrestling and certain sports events, well, maybe not so much sports events, but maybe wrestling and, let's say, like your Netflixes.
Wrestling and whatever.
Right. You could put that out and just be like, it's there. And then don't worry about what your ratings are. Just worry about your overall views at the end of it. You're probably making a bunch of views on those clicks when it comes out, but they shouldn't worry about Monday night at 8 o'clock. We fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're trying to do. And then that's what their focus is when reality television has changed. We're not, I mean, aside from a few things, us as a society, and I'm going to speak for you, J-Glo, aside from a few things, we're not, we don't care if there's a show on NBC, let's say, like Manifest. We don't, like, I, Desi and I don't care that it's on, you know, Tuesday on NBC, 8 o'clock. You got to catch it because that's when they air it. Well, fucking Hulu Wednesday. Watch it on Wednesday. You know what I mean? When it's available. You just shift it. You know what I mean? And I know that's not the same thing as a sporting event per se, but wrestling could do that.
Absolutely.
I don't think UFC could do that. And I don't think WWE's like main events like WrestleMania or all that shit could do that. Because you don't, if you don't want to get spoiled on it, like you don't want to hear like Bob tell you the next day, hey, did you see, you know, what happened there? And you're like, fuck, I didn't see it yet. You know what I mean? I get that. But for the most part, I don't think certain parts of the industry for television, I think, are badly dated. I don't think they, you know, not to cut you off and not to get on that little passionate spree, but aside from a few things, I really don't think we have to watch it on the day.
No, I hear you.
It should be done if they want to say like it's ready, you know, SmackDown's going to be on at 9 o'clock, then it, you know, but then yeah, you're right. It's taped, but is the spontaneity, like the live shit bother you that much anymore? Like, you know, I know back then when there was a war, wrestling had to be live, but like, do you care about it now?
No.
Being live or not being live? Because you're catching it next 9 times out of 10, except for AEW. But even sometimes AEW, you're catching the next day or you're just catching clips.
No, I hear you. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm catching clips, and regardless of a lot of things, the one thing for me that's catching my attention more than anything now is UFC and football. Wrestling,
right,
too. I can't throw wrestling completely out in the shitter because it's still part, like, every day for me. It's, I think, you know, if anything on the side that grabs my attention, it's something sports-related, like UFC, football, baseball, wrestling, all that stuff.
Now, like, for, like, football, do you care, like, do you care if it was like, say, those, what were you calling them? The locker room things, or what were they called? Training day, or what were the things you said you were catching?
Oh, like the training camps and whatnot,
those
to see how these guys
those
progress. The it's called training camp, and
okay,
the training camps, what they do is that they have clips online. Now, just to answer your question, before that bitch Mother Nature fucking ruined it for us.
Okay.
She,
well, that really didn't save the whole thing there.
Yeah, it is what it is. Right. It was such a lightning strike that it put us up on pause.
Yes.
To answer your question, it is clipped. It's not live.
Right.
But like you said, it's clipped. So wrestling really can be not live anymore, and
right?
That's
the only thing I'm thinking is, like, right now they're not really competing for that spontaneity, because if they even tried that now, it would be so scripted that it would feel so out, like, you know what I mean, like, oh god, listen to this, you know.
Yeah, it's I think it might wrestling might actually benefit from not being live.
I think you're right.
Then again, with the internet, I feel like it needs to be live because everyone's going to ruin it regardless.
Well, no. So the way that I was thinking they could do a wrestling program is they could do probably what I know exactly what not Impact, the other one we're talking about, Ring of Honor. I think they do so many shows in advance and then they just tape it and then they just broadcast it, you know. So I get that WWE probably doesn't want to go back that way, but it would save them so much time because they could edit it more where they're not having just this dead air of whatever the fuck they're trying to do.
Right.
Like, you know, like even when that time when Matt Riddle like didn't know his thing and he just kind of wandered off, like they could fix that. You know what I mean? Because it wouldn't be live. It would be live for the people at the arena, but you know, you could just fix that in post.
Right.
I don't know. Then you run into that issue with SmackDown, but then they overpost it where they put the crowd shit in.
Yeah,
but,
stupid.
But you know what? I mean, they had it live during this Thunderdome and they were still doing the crowd shit. So
they got to find the fine line in between where it feels like they really got to go with the fine tooth comb and take a look to see, because back in the 90s, had they not been live and they were taped like they were doing like interviews with Bret Hart and,
yeah,
you know, Papa Shango and all those guys, They could honestly probably benefit from it right now because the guys are so not good behind right. the mic. They could kind of think about something for a minute. So, I personally think that they gotta fine tooth comb it. They gotta see, okay, what's gonna work for this guy? What's gonna work for that guy? This is the guy we're investing our money and our time in. He's got a bronze body, but he's got the fucking mic skills of a dog. Like, what do we want to put for this guy? Because he obviously needs to be told what to say to maybe get something started, like some spark to see what he's good at. And I feel like they don't do that. They just throw everyone in and say, there you go, kid. Try to do something. When a lot of these guys nowadays, they're not born and bred into it. I hate to say that they're not, quote unquote, paying their dues, but they're there right now. They're what they want them to be, which I don't think is what's best for the company. I think it's best to let these guys be who they are, but whoever's shit, let them go. And maybe someone else could do something with them. For example, Malachi Black, who was Aleister Black, who originally was Tommy End. He's in AEW now. And he's, you know, arguably probably going to be one of the biggest stars in AEW because he's got looks like he has some sort of freedom in his repertoire. So, I mean, in instances like that, Tommy End, which was his name back in the Indies days, who's in AEW now. An instance where you got a guy like that that maybe has really a lot of good ideas, but WWE just stifles them with whatever gawky bullshit that they have. AEW guys like that are going to flourish. That's why I think a lot of people are really gung-ho on AEW because they feel like, oh, man, what I thought this guy was going to do in WWE, he's definitely going to do in AEW, which could work out for him, which could not work out with him. Best example, Dean Ambrose. When he went as Jon Moxley at AEW, guy was on fire. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
No, you're right. You're right. And there's a lot of things, like you said, too, with Aleister Black coming with that company. Like, yeah, there is going to be something going on there. It's like, you know, I don't know. Like, the things we're talking about and, you know, I feel like you said, going back to that, I feel like it is like a lot of bitching about it and like how we think we could fix the product and how we think programming would be better for the audience and stuff like that. And, you know, how we all, you know, are affected by how certain things are broadcasted in a way. You know, I feel like we're in this kind of ugly stage right now of technology and wrestling where they have to figure out what's going to work best for their programs. Maybe not make everything 3 hours. Maybe not have 5 shows. You know what I mean? Like, 3 shows is a lot, don't you think? Like, one company to have 3 shows and have a pay-per-view every month. Does that seem like a lot?
Absolutely. SmackDown isn't what it used to be back in the 2005 to 2000. I'm sorry, 2002 to 2000. I'll give them 2007, okay. 2008 from, you know, not to give our age here, but from, you know, when we were in high school still.
Right.
So, I mean, that's when it was, you had the Batistas, you had the Brock Lesnars, Randy Orton's, and you still had some of the legends still there, but the wrestling was so good and so well-written at that time, you didn't need the legends. But like, it's the way that it is nowadays. I think that one show, what's the advice? They need to go back. History repeats itself.
Right.
And I think that they should go back to the way that their old road schedule used to be.
Do you think
superstars?
Do you think AEW is going to get saturated with having so many programs? Or do you think think they're going to be different?
I hope that they're different, but I think right now because they're just so new, I know they're trying to hit the head with this and try to get things going so that they way they maybe they could be some sort of a contender, which I'm not sure if that's what's in the cards for them. But I think in an instance where you have just stick with two shows because you're getting all this influx of talent, keep it to 2 shows and have the guys that you have there that are up in the business, the Cody Rhodes, Young Bucks, all those guys who love the business, not necessarily have been in it for the longest of times, but have like Arn, have Dean Malenko, have all those guys that have been in the business that see what's going on. They have worked in the business. They see what works, what doesn't work. Let those guys have some more say. Have, you know, the promoter type like wrestlers. I wouldn't even mind, and I know I would get flack for this. I'll get messages like this like crazy on Twitter and Instagram or whatever. But even having some sort of like a Vince Russo in there, not making decisions, but just being there is like, you know, throw him a couple grand and see what you could get out of him. You know, Kevin Sullivan's still alive and kicking. I'm pretty positive he's working with WWE, but if he's one of the talents that leave WWE, why not hop on him? He's only going to make the company better. When it comes down to it, Tony Khan in the end has the final say because he's the guy that owns it, really. He's the president. So, I mean, it really comes down to what he says. So, you got to really win the man over, I'm guessing. So then again, I don't know how the AEW, like how the office is there with those guys. But in an instance like that, let's be fair. AEW does take a lot of WWE wrestlers, but he doesn't take all of them. They see with what they could work with and what they think works best with their product. For example, Miro, a.k.a. Rusev. They now have Lana. Lana's been let go. The Iconics, they're gone. They would be a good addition, but they don't see something in them that they like right now. Their women's division is striving and thriving, I should say, because of, you know, who their champ is. Britt Baker is arguably right now the most, my opinion, from what I see on the internet, probably one of the best women's wrestlers that you could actually see. Like, that is, when I say, I shouldn't say wrestler, she's one of the better performers that's a female right now. Not the best wrestler, but she's just a performer. She's over. But like stuff like that, and in instances where you have, you know, Asuka, she's still doing her thing, and Naomi and Shayna Baszler, who I love, who really needs to get pushed for the title. Like all these guys, like they're really playing to the social medias right now. If I want to sound like a boomer, they're really playing to the social medias with who their champs are. They're trying to stay up in times with that. And I say that in the most respectful way possible. So Bianca Belair is a champion. She deserves the belt. But going back to AEW, they're not taking all the wrestlers. They're not taking all of WWE's talent. They're taking just some who they think works with them. And they got a fantastic addition with Malakai Black.
Right.
But I don't know. You don't see him taking Braun Strowman.
No, and again, that's it. Does it come down to like a loyalty thing for the certain wrestlers that are like, okay, the company didn't screw me over too bad, so I'll just like step back?
I don't think so. I think it just comes down to what works. It's really, as they know, it's business, but it's also business for them. They got to go over right now, and that's another crazy thing too, which is nuts. There's another wrestler that just got let go. Buddy Murphy. He was bitching because he's like, WWE put a 90-day clause on my thing that I can't compete. I can't be with another company. And he said they do that so you can lose all flair and all luster, or, you know, fluster for your name. Like, if you're hot and you're over right now, you had a good storyline, but yet you get let go, they have a 90-day clause. Now, I'm wondering if maybe Aleister Black didn't have a 90-day clause. Because he's on AEW right now. He's legit there.
They gave those 90-day clauses to the wrong people, because no offense to Buddy Murphy, but like, he wasn't over.
No.
That one thing was dying down. Like, they started something with Aleister Black.
Mm-hmm.
They had vignettes, and then they let him go. He didn't even go into the ring as Aleister Black's like thing that they were doing. You know what I mean? He should have had the 90-day clause.
Right. And they had a storyline with him and Buddy Murphy there where he lost his, like, they put his eye on the stairs.
No. And,
yeah, they did.
Murphy had Aleister Black?
Yeah, Buddy Murphy did that. So this is what just happened recently.
No, but that wasn't like super like recent.
So this is what is going on. They has Aleister Black, Tommy End, whatever his real name is, had a video that he created, and it was Black Mass something or whatever. He had some sort of a video. You'll have to check it out. 100% it's on Instagram. But you could go on there, and he had a video where it was him being interviewed by a police officer. Like, it was, it's a movie-like quality.
Mm-hmm.
And they had him where he had a patch over his eye, but he's, like, demented and blah, blah, blah. And they have these people, and then they're like, no, I don't want to go on there with him. He's too nuts. And they had him. I thought he was just going to be making a B-rated movie. But it was actually, I guess, a vignette into his story, like his character that is now going to be on AEW. I didn't think this was going to happen. And I thought it was just going to be, like I said, a B-rated movie that he was going to be a part of. But when they had the little bits in there that were like peeling back the curtain, so to speak, which the fans really got hard over, they had him talking about, you know, something with my eye, Matthew will never forget this or something. Everyone that's a big wrestling mark and a smark knows that Buddy Murphy's real name is like Matthew something something. Wow. So they're like, oh, they're using his real name. Oh, man, he might still be in wrestling. He's going to AEW. And next thing you know, shows up on AEW the following day, and he's been kicked Arn Anderson in the head, and I did the same thing to Cody Rhodes. So, I mean, it's one of those things where that was something that was well done, but they're still continuing that storyline. So, as it's not as bad for Aleister Black because he looks great with it, sucks for Buddy Murphy because he could have, you know, got signed along with them. They could have continued that storyline. AEW maybe did it better.
That would have been a different, like, that would have been interesting to continue a feud across a promotion. You know what I mean? Like, that was
never done.
To bring our show to a close here, that's interesting. You know, if they want to grab who they want, AEW, that is, sorry, pronouns, pal. If they want to bring certain stars in that they think are going to accentuate the product, more power to them. I have to catch a little bit more AEW before I cast my stone into that pond, because a lot of it is, and I'll be completely honest with you, a lot of it is opinionated by when I listen to Jim Cornette. So it's like one of those things where he pisses on the product. But you know, it's a funny thing is, to just talk about Jim Cornette really quick, he pisses on the product, but he pisses on it in a sense of these guys could do it better. Not so much that it comes down to a matter of him trying to protect the wrestlers more so, and the business more so, than it is trying to scold that promotion as a whole. If you really read between the Jim Cornette lines of his rants that he goes on about AEW, he's saying that they shouldn't do those moves because they're going to die. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're fucking stupid. Well, he says you're fucking stupid for doing them, but it's not coming from like malice of like you should die. It's, you know, have more protection on your body, or, you know, you keep doing these type of moves, you're going to have to keep one-upping it. When you keep kicking out of some guy's finisher, you keep kicking out of like going through five tables and shit like that.
Right. I agree with him.
When is the end the end? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like you're going to end up hurting yourselves. And then you get that incident with Matt Hardy when he had that bad concussion. He came back. But like,
yeah,
you know, like there's different cases where if you have to think about it, you should just protect themselves more. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's what it 100%. Comes down to. But yeah, like, but if you want to laugh too, it's pretty funny listening to him.
I stopped following him. I stopped following the whatchamacallit, the fan page online too that I was a part of for Cornette.
Because a lot of the people were probably like,
they're shitting. It's just that a lot of them are making zero sense. And I mean, Jim Cornette's really just trying to keep a name for himself too. No offense to the man, but it's just like, I hear so much negativity every single day with everything else. Like, I kind of just want to sometimes just watch the product and give it my own opinion.
Yeah.
Which a lot of these, like, you listen to a lot of these guys. That's why I don't listen to that many podcasts anymore that are like someone saying, oh, this product shit or that product shit.
Oh, boy.
Like, I'll say, literally, that's us. Yeah. But it's our opinion.
Exactly.
But we're not telling people not to watch it. We're just saying.
That's true. We are giving our opinions on either side of it. I think you're absolutely right.
So if that's where we're not biased, I mean, I love wrestling as much as I know Jim Cornette loves wrestling because that's literally his other wife or whatever he said. If his house was burning, he would go for that book he talked about in that video before he went for his wife.
I bet he would try to get his wife out.
Yeah. But, like, nothing against Jim Cornette. No. Like I said, nothing against any fan that has their opinion. But for people that, like, fester on someone else's opinion and don't think for themselves, that's when
they and that's what a lot of his – you're absolutely right. A lot of them will just get on the Jim Cornette bandwagon. And even I'll listen to his stuff and I process it, but I say this, and I keep saying this. If I said it in the beginning of the program, I'll say it at the end of this program. And it's that, like, you just want to listen. You want to, like, understand, like, 75 or 70% of what he's saying, but then form your own opinion at it. It's like, yeah, I get it. You don't like AEW. You hate how the product is being delivered. But he's also trying to say that the wrestlers don't need to have all that. You know, it's great to see, but then you start seeing, you know, them waiting for the next move to happen. And then, like, this just gets a little sloppy. So, yeah, you see that, but at the same time, you don't have to be Harpo Marxing on it, the whole fucking thing. So, because at the end of the day, we couldn't do what they do, you know, regardless. Absolutely. So, yeah, I absolutely, I agree with that. Definitely agree with that. But is there anything else we want to close the program on?
Yeah, actually, I do. I just want to proudly say, in my 32, I'll give everyone my age, my 32 years of life, I got selected for jury duty, and I got out of it.
Nice. So
I'm pretty pumped about that. The world also, you don't fucking care, but I'm going to say anyway, because it's us. It's us here. real estate work right now is really fucking picking up.
Good.
And it's good to stay busy because in after being in a pandemic for over a year, fucking a lot of people are losing their fucking minds, and I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was trying to keep busy, but everything was so fucking compact and closed.
Mm-hmm.
That I was losing my mind in my house, at work, on the road, just because I felt, you know, it felt like you couldn't do anything. You were like jailed in your house or at work. You couldn't do anything. But people, please, for the love of God, keep following any type of precautions with washing your hands and fucking, if you feel sick, don't be around others. It's common sense.
And I was saying this too, and I know this is going to be weird, and we're not trying to peddle out, you know, one way or the other, I guess. We're not trying to be pro or opposed. Like, live your life the way you want to live, but you should be smart and at least try to go by some sort of guidelines that somebody who's smarter than you is telling you, if that's the case, you know, anyways.
Right.
But I feel like our country, it's going to be strange, but I feel like a lot of the Asian countries and things like that, they wear masks when they're sick. Yeah. I feel like we're going to be doing that. You know what I mean? And that's going
to
be a shocker, but guess what? When you're in China or you're in Japan and you're clusted, even I think in England and things like that, you're that close with other people. You kind of want to just keep yourself healthy.
Be safe.
Exactly. So any way you think you can keep yourself healthy, keep yourself healthy. That's all I could say. However you want to interpret that, you know, do what you want to do. I you know, I think we had talked about it on the show. I know we both got vaccinated. I know our colleague who is no longer with us didn't. So that goes to show you. No, I'm just kidding. He's fine. He's just not with us right now. No, but I was just saying, like, there's other ways of other, you know, taking care of yourself. But, you know, like, if you don't feel safe going out, you don't have to go out either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you feel like you are down, not downed, but like if you feel like you're sick or something like that, I feel like we're going to see a lot of people putting their masks on. It's going to be a normal thing, and we just have to get used to it.
It is what it is.
Being a free country. We get it. We're free.
Right.
But we should also be safe. You know,
wear a condom. Be smart.
Exactly.
Be smart. Be wear your face condom.
Exactly.
Well, one other thing as well I want to add on to that before we close the show out too is if you feel like you have some sort of mental health, which male, female, whatever sexuality you are, just fucking reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
Don't, if you feel like you listen to our show and you're like, fuck, I hate my life right now, I'm thinking negative things, fucking message us. I will gladly talk to someone who is feeling like they're having the fucking worst day of their life or they feel alone. I will make you laugh. I will make you cry. I will make you want to kill yourself.
No, I'm kidding. Wait, no, that's not
no,
that way.
I will talk to anyone at any point. People reach out to me all the time because they're having a shit day. And I love it because I don't want them to feel like they don't have anyone to turn to.
Yeah.
So even if it's you, Dustin from Worcester, England, or Brad from Kentucky, or whoever. I'm just throwing names out there.
Zendaya from Australia.
Or Zendaya from Australia. Reach out. If I don't know your language, I'll figure it out. But just enjoy your life. Life is very short, as we could see. Life could stop in an instant at any time.
Yeah.
Just reach out. Reach out here. And I'll be more happy to talk to you. And that goes the same to you, Mikey.
Yeah, ditto to you. And, you know, if I was more prepared on this whole – I did not know we were going to go down this road with just being of sane mind and just being not depressed and things like that. I mean, I think the next episode we do at the end of the show – I will give out that suicide hotline number. I really think that's important.
It is.
Prevention of that stuff. So you have somebody to talk to too. If we can't, there's a number, and I'd love to, you know, maybe we'll put it on the tail end of this ad. I really didn't think we were going to go down this road, but that's very important. And I'm happy you have some sort of cause, because you usually don't have that type of cause. So that's nice to hear from you. So yeah, everybody take care of yourself. Just love each other. And, for J-Glo, this is Mikey Dangerously saying, see you later, fuckface.